it's just been his mission is to, he's always said, grass-fed, we don't want people to buy it just because it's healthy. We want them to buy it because they like it.
In the ever-evolving agriculture industry, making it as a small farm requires the ability to adapt and change. It is true that sometimes the best plan of action is to alter your course. Today, we visit a farm that began as a dairy operation, but now specializes in beef, fed on the finest Georgia grass.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we're headed down to the edge of the state, just 13 miles north of the Georgia-Florida line in Grady County in southwest Georgia. This is where we find the town of Wiggum, population 428. Wiggum is home to Grady Ranch, a fourth-generation family farm whose specialty is 100% grass-fed Angus beef.
Okay, I'm Bill West. I'm one of the operators and partners of Grady Ranch, and our business is to raise high-quality grass-fed beef.
Are not the first generation to be on this ranch. Tell me about its beginnings.
First generation, my father, Glenn West, he did business at West Haven Farms. And he had a dairy, and he operated a dairy farm, had registered brown Swiss cattle. But he also liked beef cattle, too. He had dabbled in limousine and other breeds. When this place was first put in, it was put in as a beef operation. And he put it in as a beef operation. And it was basically that's all that was here, was a cow-calf herd in there. In the early 70s, when several different partners in that business, which was my brother, my brother-in-law, my father, we decided that we'd rather have our own individual businesses. And one of my brother-in-laws, Bob Holden and I, put in and bought this section. By that, I mean we signed our name to a note and put in a dairy here. So we operated the dairy from 1976 till 2012.
In the early 2010s, changes in the dairy industry made Bill and his family rethink the best way to move forward with their business. Here's Bill's nephew, Bobby.
My name is Bobby Holden. I am owner-operator of Grady Ranch, fourth generation.
This is a family business, longtime family business.
Yeah.
Tell me about that and what it's been like.
It's basically all I've ever known. I in the 90s left and went to school and graduated from the University of Georgia with a dairy science degree. And we were a fourth generation dairy farm here. And then in 2012, my father, who was partnered with my uncle and I, he decided to retire. The dairy industry was at a point of change, and we were going to have to increase size to a point that we just weren't really comfortable with, because dairy was an industry of economies of scale. And we were already rotationally grazing the dairy herd, and we decided to go with the beef herd, which is a lot less management intensive, because we weren't to the size to be able to replace my father, you know, in a management position. So we went with the beef herd, and with a couple of tweaks, we were able to get totally 100% grass-fed certified on our beef. And then the first 2 years, we tried selling commercially, you know, with the livestock markets. And then we realized that the real opportunity was in going all the way to retail.
Changing course turned out to be a stroke of genius for Grady Farms. Their grass-fed beef business soon became their main focus.
That took off in a fashion that what we did was just kept increasing the beef herd, slowly quit doing row cropping like peanuts, soybeans, corn, that sort of thing, and just turned everything more into pasture. So we became basically a beef operation now. And so we're still, equipment-wise, you'll see around us, we're in the middle of still evolving from the dairy operation to things that work a little better for the beef cattle. on there.
When first getting involved in the beef business, Bill admits he had some learning to do and some prestigious universities lent a helping hand.
I did not know all the cuts of meat. I didn't, you know, I had not been in the beef business. By no means were we experts at harvesting a cow. And so that's where we worked with the University of Georgia. The tests that University of Tennessee had done where they came to 25% of fat on the hoof is what most people like. Then you're working with the University of Georgia. How do we get a grass-fed animal to 25% fat? And basically do basically the same way we did with the dairy. You just got to make sure you have high-quality forages in front of them year-round.
Pivoting into a whole new business can require some creative experimentation. Grady Farms took special care in finding the perfect breed of cow for their beef operation.
In the dairy business, we used the Holstein breed, and they're a wonderful milking breed, but not so much for beef. And then we did some kind of market research and trying to figure out, we knew that we wanted to sell a high quality product, and then we settled on Angus because of the carcass traits that Angus represent and the high quality beef that Angus produce. And you could raise the Brahman breeds a little easier here in this tropical environment, but they don't have the, since we were selling a premium product, we needed something that had the premium carcass traits, and Brahman don't percentage-wise produce as much as the Angus do. And so we settled on the Angus breed, and we've pretty much gone from there. And then we just have been studying Angus and how to best produce them in this environment.
There are plenty of reasons why consumers opt for grass-fed beef over the cheaper varieties. There's the health benefits, sure. But if the product doesn't taste good, there goes your return customers. This is where that 25% fat content comes into play.
And you want that fat for taste. People will buy grass-fed because of the health benefits, antioxidants, omega-3s, things that would come with that, a fat that's more soluble and also a little less problems with different types of E. coli that would come into a pen-raised or slab-raised, what we call it, operation. People enjoy that. They will buy grass-fed for health reason once or maybe twice, but if they don't like it, they don't come back. And when we first started this, and I was sort of the same way, I don't particularly like what I had eaten as grass-fed. And what we found out, if he's on a really high protein forage, perennial peanuts developed by the University of Florida, that's South Georgia's and North Florida's alfalfa, that works great in the summertime. High sugar grasses like cool season grasses like ryegrasses, those kind of things, they taste real good coming off of.
Bobby says his Uncle Bill has dedicated his life to finding the perfect combination of foliage to produce the healthiest and best-tasting grass-fed beef.
People in general through the years have thought grass-fed, it's going to be lean, we don't have as much taste, but that's what you've been battling.
Yep.
That's what you've proven isn't always the case.
Yep, and then that's my uncle, which Bill West, it's just been his mission is to, he's always said grass-fed, we don't want people to buy it just because it's healthy. We want them to buy it because they like it. And so that has been his mission in figuring out which combination of grasses produces the best tasting beef. And like the old adage, you are what you eat, same for people and cattle. And so you can actually change the flavor profile of the beef by what grasses they eat. We use several different varieties of grass. In the cooler months, we use a mixture of rye, ryegrass, oats. And then in the warm season, we revert more to the native grasses, the coastal Bermudas and Bahias. And then also we grow another crop called perennial peanut, which is a forage producing only peanut plant. It's the ancestor to the nut plant. And it's being a legume, it makes its own nitrogen, and also it has a better carbohydrate to protein ratio, which helps to add weight to the animals.
There really is a lot of science going into this process. You see, different grasses contribute to the flavor profile of the beef in different ways. And grasses with more sugar content fatten up the cattle at a faster rate.
Cool season grasses tend to hold a little higher sugar content. That does, as in a carbohydrate. If you ate a lot of sugar, you're going to get fatter. And also we had learned that we thought a younger animal was better. Turns out not necessarily. If below 24 months does not work well as a grass-fed. He's growing, putting on bone size, getting height. He doesn't easily put on that fat till he's got that done. And then once he's grown, just like us when we hit, 35 years old, you all of a sudden, you're never worried about getting overweight, but all of a sudden you are. And of course, when you hit 69, you really hit, happens. But as one side benefit of doing this, I work with a lot of people who are nutritionists, bodybuilders, power lifters, that kind of stuff. They eat so much ground beef. And I had to learn how to maintain, since you lose muscle mass as you get older, and eating a smaller, a reasonable amount of red meat of the right type maintains muscle mass easier. And so it's a lazy way of keeping muscle mass on there, as long as you're not overdoing it with other sugars and and honey buns and soft drinks on there.
For us humans, too much extra fat can be a bad thing. But when you're running a beef business, well, it's money in the bank.
So the only thing we're selling is pounds. And so the more pounds you can produce per acre and the more pounds you can produce for the farm, the better you are financially.
Now, I hope to make some small farm very rich someday. Changing from a dairy business to a beef business meant a lot more face-to-face interaction with customers. For Bobby, that was actually pretty challenging, but not necessarily in a bad way.
For my part of the operation, that's where the largest learning curve was, is going from commercial agriculture, where you just dealt with brokers, basically, to taking it to the end consumer. And also, that has turned out to be my most favorite part of the transition, is getting to actually meet the person face-to-face that's going to consume my product and get personal feedback. It's that's probably the most rewarding portion of the business, is actually seeing people enjoy the product that you produce.
And you talked about that part of your job you like, and I guess the farmers markets are, explain those farmers markets, who you meet and what you share.
Farmers markets is probably my favorite duty that I have, and that's because you get to meet people. I ran the dairy here for 22 years before we got into this part, and pretty much everybody you talk to had four legs, and so at the farmer's market, they talk back.
And for Bill, changing to a more customer-facing profession was even more difficult.
Yeah, I certainly have spent 40 years on a tractor and then just working with cows and running a dairy farm and planting row crops. I never dealt with the public at all, ever. I mean, just something I had not done in my entire life. And all of a sudden being in my 60s and meeting the public on a regular basis and having to speak, I have a little bit of social anxiety disorder. I don't like getting in front of a group. That's something I had to learn how to do and start doing, and how to speak in front of a group. And that was really terrible for me to start with, to say the least. I can hide it well, but I can tell when somebody else is getting that panic attack that's having to talk in front of a group, because I have been there. And I know what it feels like, and I know when, I'm having a heart attack, but I'm hiding it. But over time, I got kind of enjoy it, and I really enjoy meeting our customers, individuals, find out what they like, what they don't like. That's the sort of thing that I've got to enjoy over time. And I really didn't think I would, because that's not my normal personality on there.
Making that personal connection with the end consumer is a big part of every small farm. That connection helps build a sense of pride and community. And it also provides an opportunity for farmers to maybe teach their customers some new things.
So we've learned that in the farmer's market atmosphere, you get a lot of chance to do consumer education, and not just about our product, but about agriculture in general. And then ag has taken a bad rap these last few years as far as ecology and different things like that. But once you put a face to the farmer, you know, to the consumer, they become wonderfully loyal and just really get into just knowing where their food comes from. It gives them a good sense of security and satisfaction to know that the meat they're buying from me, and then also the produce and the other things at the market, they're buying it from the person that produced that food. You're able to convey that a lot of what you hear in the general media about agriculture is taken mostly out of context, and then when you can show how we are stewards of the land, and then the American farmer was the first environmentalist, and it's just we derive our livelihood and provide for our families off of this land, so the last thing we would ever do would be to jeopardize it. And it just gives us a chance to speak the good about agriculture, and that's something I really enjoy because it's a passion for us.
Bobby has instilled that passion for agriculture into the next generation of Grady Farms.
My son Ben, he's come on with us, and he went to the University of Georgia, got a degree in
Ag Science and Environmental Systems.
My name is Ben Holden. I am an employee of Grady Ranch. Yeah, I'm learning from family. I'm a fifth generation coming in. So I graduated from the University of Georgia with an Ag Science Environmental Systems degree. Coming back home was pretty much always my plan. Being raised up here, I've always been in the agricultural field. It's just been a very experiential learning process to figure out what processes work and what processes won't, through trial and error, really. Having your father and your great uncle as your teachers are kind of fun as well, but at the same time it can be a little strenuous, because you know that's your father that you're trying to impress, or your uncle that you're trying to impress and show how much you want to put into this farm, and show that you'd be able to handle the operation later on or along the way as you know things, as people start to retire and you know just get busy and life goes on. But
you got to earn your stripes with them, right?
Yeah, you got to show your worth.
And Grady Farm's transition from milk to beef was something Ben was very grateful for.
Well, I guess to be honest, if it was still dairy, I probably wouldn't have come back. That's a job that really is for a certain breed of people. It's a lifelong, you know, 24 hours a day, 24/7. You don't get a break from dairy. When I came into high school, the year before I graduated high school, we transitioned from the dairy to this grass-fed beef operation. And that, from being able to look and see what they're doing and kind of come home on summers and be able to work with them, kind of let me know that this is something that I'd be very interested in. You know, being able to work outdoors every day, not be in an office setting, stay active. It is really something that I found that I enjoyed and I was able to pour myself into. And with raising cattle, you have something that can actually move around, and you know, it's an animal that you're taking care of, and you can actually see the care that you pour in come back and show you how well that you've done or not.
I then asked Ben, what makes the perfect grass-fed beef?
Your breeding traits would have to do a lot with it. You're looking for the correct carcass traits. You're looking for somebody that isn't skin and bone, but isn't just a butterball, isn't fat, isn't overweight. You're looking for a cow that has adequate feed, that has feed all day long, hardly ever has to move. You know, you're supplying everything that you have to that cow right there where it's at, so it doesn't have to work at all to have its food. It can still go around and graze as much as it likes, but for the really powerful grazing, that's what you're looking to get, so you have that constant rate of gain on the cow. If the more the cow moves around, the less it's going to be able to marble and have a good, nice carcass trait. The less the cow moves around, it's going to have that nice carcass trait that you're looking for. Usually with our cows, you're looking for about 1,000, or usually for our steers, you're looking for about 1,000 to 1,200 pounds a head to be able to go to market. That's what we would take to market or to the butcher to be able to be processed for our retail.
At Grady Farms, their experimentation and attention to detail has resulted in high-quality beef, and some local chefs have taken notice.
Sure, it's Tyler Thomas, and we're at The American. I'm the owner and executive chef.
The American is a cozy little eatery in beautiful downtown Bainbridge, serving up Southern comfort food made from scratch with only the finest and freshest ingredients.
Really what we focus on is just really high quality, fresh ingredients, a lot of local ingredients, the best we can get. And we just come in every morning and we pull them out and we make great food from scratch that just tastes great. We don't try to make it too complicated, but we do sometimes put a unique twist on classic dishes.
I then asked Tyler about the distinctly patriotic concept of his restaurant.
It's The American. I come from just a background, my father served, grandfather served, and my wife and I just love the country. We collected a lot of the artwork, the furniture, when we were coming up with the concept. We didn't know what the name was going to be. And we looked around, everything was navy blue and royal red and gold, and so we started looking at it. We just one day said, what about The American? And it stuck, and we went with it, and it's been embraced by the community. We're, we believe in, it's a melting pot, so we've got a pretty diverse crew, and we serve anyone that walks through the door, and we love it.
On the day I visited, Tyler was actually cooking up some brisket with beef from Grady Farms, and it smelled amazing.
We made a slow-braised brisket with the Grady Ranch beef. We took all the renderings from the pan after it braised for about five and a half hours, and cooked it down in some tomato sauce to make a spicy beef ragu. Exceptionally tender grass-fed brisket, spicy beef ragu, and a handmade pappardelle pasta from scratch, courtesy of the sous chef here, Mason. And we're gonna finish it off with some fresh Parmesan. Simple, really tasty, really tender, very delicious.
Chefs like Tyler really appreciate Grady's dedication to quality, and this is what keeps them coming back time and time again.
We love the short rib, the brisket, their ground beef. They do a blend of ground beef. It's healthy, but it's actually really flavorful. It's got a unique taste to it. It's not corn-fed or grain-fed, but it kind of has a nutty, corny kind of flavor, which is interesting. And we just find that the brisket's a little bit leaner. But it works really well. We add a little bit of liquid to it, so in this case some cognac, some wine, some stock, and lots of vegetables and tomatoes, and it really soaks up all those flavors. So it does really well for us. We love the brisket, we love the short ribs, we love the ground beef. They also do some nice primal cuts. But I'm excited about this because it's going on a pasta, and everybody loves pasta around here. And what we're gonna do is just put this right over the pasta. And you're gonna pick up a lot of those flavors. We had fresh tarragon, cognac, tomato, carrot, celery, some Vidalia onion, and some hatch green chili peppers. And we just let that braise down for 4 or 5 hours so it was nice and tender. And we saved the jus, or the rendering, and we poured it and mixed it with tomato sauce, simmered it down. And it's got a little bit of spice to it, not too much, but I think it's gonna be a really nice dish.
Necessity is the mother of invention, and Grady Farms is a prime example of what can happen when changes to the market require inventive solutions. Agriculture is a constantly evolving industry, and sometimes only those with the beefiest brains will survive. See what I did there? This is Bobby's son, Ben, again.
Agriculture is a very fluid industry. So you always have to be on your toes with finding the next newest thing that might work. And it's a process of trial and error. You're not gonna have one thing, the first thing you try is not gonna be your best option. You're gonna have to continuously try different options to see which options are your best. So with that, it's always a learning curve. You've always got to be able to be prepared to say, okay, I've gotta stop, this is not working. What else can I try? What can I do different?
That adaptability and willingness to experiment is something fifth generation farmer Ben hopes to pass on to generation 6 and beyond.
My main goal would be to learn as much as I can to be able to pass on to further generations, to be able to grow our business into something that the rest of our family or even my family later on would be able to look at and be like, hey, that's something that I would like to be a part of. That's something that I would like to pour into. You know, dear old dad's out there working all day long, so let me go out and help him.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.